always an honor for me to open up God's word with you. I try not to take that for granted. And so we are continuing this conversation about how to fulfill or live in God's purpose, God-given purpose. We're calling it task-oriented. And so when you hear that term, task-oriented, I want you to think about the word task as talent, assignment, stewardship, and kingdom. And I know as a pastor, of course, so cliche to have an acronym, but I really do think it's going to help you remember that. That you have been given specific talents for a unique assignment, and we're called to be good and faithful stewards to advance the kingdom of God. And so last week, we started by looking at the subject of how to overcome spiritual procrastination or how to guard against spiritual procrastination. And remembering that the promise of Jesus' return, we have our eyes set on that, and we remember that Jesus is returning, that should shape our priorities today. So we're gonna build on that, and today I wanna dig into the word talent. What do you think of when you hear the word talent? First thing that came to my mind as I was putting this together was the TV show America's Got Talent. It's one of the shows that I enjoy watching. And that show highlights some very interesting, amazing talents, somewhat sometimes bizarre people that come on. And I remember one specific guy that came up on stage, and I think his name was Stevie Starr, and he was called the Regurgitator. I won't get into too, that was just a great response. I won't get into too much detail, but here's what he showcased about what he could do. So he could swallow things and then hit his stomach and regurgitate it back up. So he would swallow coins, right? He would swallow them, open his mouth, they weren't there, and then he would hit his stomach and they'd come back up. He did that with billiard balls. He did that with a light bulb. And the most impressive one was he swallowed a Rubik's Cube, hit his stomach, it came back up, solved. That was the show. I'm not making that up. So is that considered a talent? Absolutely not. That is just weird. But it is kind of interesting. It's kind of amazing that someone can do that. Well, I want us to look at a biblical perspective of talent, what a talent is. And so to do that, we're gonna spend some time in Matthew chapter 25. We're gonna look at the second parable that Jesus gave. So this was near the end of his life before he would go on to be arrested and crucified. Matthew 25 captures two parables and then a description of the event of the final judgment, how we will be judged for how we participate in the kingdom of God. Very sobering story that we'll get to. And so we're gonna look at the second parable that Jesus told, the parable of the three servants. I like to call it the parable of the bags. But let's look at Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Let's let God's word speak to us today, all right? Here we go. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them. Very important point. He entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are some harsh words. So in this parable, it's important to remember that Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God? We'll use those interchangeably. The kingdom of heaven is wherever, it's the realm wherever Jesus is king. So when a person decides to follow Jesus, repents of their sin, chooses Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, Jesus is their king. The kingdom of God becomes where that person lives out this realm of Jesus as king. Jesus, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's about our lives aligning with the will and the kingdom of God. So in the kingdom of heaven, it's important to understand he is the master, we are the servants. It's important to understand that relationship. So we work like we're hired, we live like we're loved, because we also know Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. The kingdom of heaven is also illustrates that God entrusts and we steward, which means we are partners with the Almighty to be about his mission. God entrusts, we steward. A good question to ask ourselves today is, are we trustworthy? If God is entrusting something that is his to us, are we trustworthy? Have you ever allowed someone to borrow something of yours and they were irresponsible? Maybe they lost it. Maybe they let it get ruined. They forgot to return it back. What do you do? How do you handle that situation? It's like, well, I'm not gonna lend them anything anymore. Are we trustworthy? Today, we're gonna focus in on verse 15 specifically. There's a lot in here we're gonna look over the next couple weeks. So I wanna zero in on verse 15. He gave the bags to each according to their ability. So Jesus used bags, something that we can physically understand, something that's common, to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. So we're gonna look at how do we identify our specific talents, and then how do we access God's wisdom for how to use our specific talents for his mission and his purpose, all right? So we're gonna start with, what does the bag represent? Number one, and I'd encourage you to write this down. The bag represents valuable kingdom opportunities. As a side note, we're gonna talk more in depth about kingdom opportunities when we talk about advancing God's kingdom. But in that last section of Matthew 25, Jesus talks about when you've fed the hungry, or you cared for the sick, or you welcomed the stranger, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's where we're gonna see our kingdom opportunity. So this bag represents valuable kingdom opportunities. We could say the bag is God's serious investment in you. To truly understand and really grasp the value of a bag, it's important to understand a little bit of historical context. So the New Living Translation uses bag of silver. If you look at the original Greek, which the Gospels are written in, the bag of silver was called a talent. And a talent was not an ability. A talent was a unit of measurement by either wage or weight. And so scholars have debated through the years the exact value, whether you calculate by wage or by weight. But I think it's important to understand, we'll do a little math today to understand what really was the value. If it was in our time, how much were these bags really worth? So by weight, a talent of silver weighed about 75 pounds. And so at today's silver prices, last time I looked, it was around $22 an ounce in our dollars. So 75 pounds of silver at $22 an ounce is about $26,000. One bag. So the servant with five bags, that would be around $130,000. They don't call me Math Mylan for nothing, right? That was my nickname. That's a nice sum of money. Now, by wage, that was by weight. By wage, a talent also equaled 6,000 denarii. So what was a denarius? 6,000 denarii. A denarius was one day's wage for a laborer. So a talent equaled 6,000 days' wages for a laborer. So let's say a day's wage in our time, let's use a round number, $100 a day. Let's say that was a day's wage for a laborer. A talent equals 6,000 of those days. So you take 6,000 times $100. That one bag was worth $600,000. The servant with five bags was worth closer to $3 million. Either way, however you calculate it, this was something very valuable entrusted to these servants. And the amount given was a serious investment based on their ability to handle it. See, God's economy is not about fairness in the way that we think about it. Yes, his servants were loved equally, but the responsibility varied. God entrusts each person exactly what they're capable of managing. Which brings me to a very important second point today. And again, I'd encourage you to write this down. From this parable, here's what we learned, that each person has been given specific talents for unique kingdom opportunities. And I don't know about you, but this is what fires me up so much about God's purpose for our lives. That's why I talk about it so much. It changed my life when I understood that God has entrusted something to me that has helped me understand why I exist in this world. You have been given specific talents to use for unique kingdom opportunities. So talents are actually like a God-given glimpse of his purpose for your life. So it's important to understand the difference between a talent and a skill. Do you know the difference between talent and skills? Here's the difference. So recently I watched Netflix documentary on the life of Whitney Houston, arguably one of the greatest singers of all time. And so I followed her life from when she was a child and just all the opportunities and the training that she had for singing. And of course, leading to a tragic ending of her life that seemed like what looked like drug abuse. But in that part of this documentary, it took us back to 1991 when Whitney Houston sang the national anthem for Super Bowl 25. And I actually remember watching that live. It was right in the middle of the first Gulf War we were in as a country. And as the Super Bowl right before it was supposed to start, Whitney Houston comes out. She just steps up and she crushes the national anthem. And I remember as I was 14, right around age 14 at the time, and I remember sitting there watching it, and like, I'm not the most emotional guys, you probably already know, but I remember getting like a lump in my throat, and it was like, yeah, America, patriotic, let's go. It was just like so moving. I'm like, it's just the Star Spangled Banner in a football game. That's all it was. So did Whitney Houston, did she have talent or was she skilled? You might be saying, well, what's the difference? I think there's an important difference. Clearly, she had talent. But she also, when I've watched how much she trained and practiced and practiced and practiced, she had skills to do it. What's the difference? Talents, I'm gonna encourage you to write this down too. Talents are gifts you're born with. Talents are like the built-in capabilities that just come naturally to you. They're the things you do where people say, how do you make that look so easy? Maybe it's music. Man, our team makes it look so easy. And there's a lot of talent on this platform, but I also know the level of practice that goes into it. Maybe it's music for you. Maybe it's art. Maybe it's athletics. Maybe it's business or problem solving or building things with your hands or fixing things. Talents are those things. They're just like I said, they're God-given glimpses of his purpose on your life. What are skills? Skills are learned. They're learned and they take time. They're acquired and refined through effort, training, and practice. And so I want you to see how these go together. Skills enhance talents. If you want to be a good and faithful steward of what God has given you, and you want to be a good and faithful servant in God's kingdom, start here. Identify your talents and then decide what skills will enhance those talents to multiply your impact. Talents are like the seeds God gives us. Skills are how we water them, make them grow. So how do you discover your specific talents? If God has given each of us specific talents, how do you discover them? Well, it starts by asking this question. And it's such a powerful question, but it's so simple. And the question is, what's in your hand? Whether you're a teenager, young person, young adult, if you're in my stage of life, or maybe you're in the third season of life, retirement years, whatever stage you're in, this is a very powerful question. What's in your hand? And I wish when I was a teenager and young adult, I wish I would have paid attention more to what this parable was teaching, to understand, to start with what's in your hand. I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, why do I exist? Why am I even here? So I would look for something magically to fall from the sky. And this question just is a very simple starting point. What's in your hand? It's the question that God asked Moses. It's the question that he asked Moses at the burning bush when God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And just as a side note, Moses was 80 years old. Now, he lived to be about 120, so he was definitely in the third season of his life, but I would say it was the most significant season of his life to fulfill an assignment. See, when he was birthed to 40 years old, he was getting his training, his education, but he also murdered somebody. Then when he was 40 to age 80, it was kind of like, we don't really know what his life was like. He was just kind of minding his own business, taking care of livestock. And I want to go to this passage where Moses encounters God in a burning bush. And it's where God calls Moses for this next assignment. I want you to read this because in this moment, Moses expresses a lot of doubt and fear about his ability to fulfill God's assignment. Maybe you can relate. So let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. God calls him to take the step, but Moses protested again. What if they, meaning the people of Israel, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? What does Moses focus on? We can just tell he's overwhelmed with self-doubt. His insecurity reflects this human tendency that I think we all struggle with. Doubting God's assignment, maybe focusing on our own personal limitation rather than on God's power. Then verse 2, the Lord asked him in this moment, what is that in your hand? And what did Moses reply? What did he say was in his hand? Can we say it together? A shepherd's staff. I can just picture him holding this piece of wood. And you read about shepherds, their staff was pretty important to them. It was like their, you know, it was like their mate almost. It was like they would never leave their hand. But I can just imagine looking at this and like, that's what's in my hand. This piece of wood is, how is that going to help me bring people out of Egypt, arguably one of the most powerful nations of the world at that time? Apparently, Moses had a God-given talent to shepherd. And he had a lot of experience shepherding animals, livestock. And it was almost as if God was saying to Moses, those same skills that you have in shepherding livestock, learning to lead and feed them and guide them and protect them, I'm gonna raise you up to fulfill an assignment for my purpose. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Let me give you a few examples of talents that can be used for kingdom opportunities. Maybe you have a God-given gift for cooking. How could you use that for kingdom opportunities? Man, there's a guy in our church named Kevin, makes delicious food, and he decided to build a food truck and take it out and feed people in Lancaster County, feed people who are in need, feed the hungry, feed those who are people who are experiencing homelessness. Use what he has to feed people, and that opens the door to the gospel. Powerful. Now, we may not all start food trucks, but how could you use what God has given you to impact people? Maybe you have a God-given talent for financial acumen. You know how to read spreadsheets. It's like, these are so easy to understand. I'm thankful for people like you because that is not my gift. What if you would use that gift and that talent to help people manage their money wisely? Create a budget. Help people invest it wisely so they can be part of helping to fund the kingdom of God with their resources. Maybe God has given you the talent for teaching or coaching. Maybe you could use that to help train people in the skills they need to enhance their God-given talent. Maybe God's given you the gift of being a mom or a dad, and he's entrusted you with children. I'll use that gift to raise your children. What would it look like to help other moms and dads? Maybe God's given you the talent to build things with your hands or solve problems, fix things. I know of a mechanic who at least once a year, he offers to service cars for widows free of charge. Maybe you're an artist or a writer. What would it look like to use your art to point people to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ? Or use your writing, write stories, tell stories that inspire moral courage. I mean, we could go on and on. God gives you talent. He has given you a specific talent to be used for kingdom opportunities. Now, let me just give you a caution. The point is not to find someone to financially subsidize your talent, but it's simply just to start where you are with what you have. God gives you talents. You can learn the skills to enhance your talents. But then number three, Jesus is the source of wisdom for how to use those talents for kingdom opportunities. I don't want us to lose sight of this. Because so often when we identify our talents and maybe there's opportunities, like, okay, I see it, but now what? Jesus is the source for wisdom for how you use that. I think the Apostle Paul saw this pretty clearly. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, in him, meaning in Christ, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. They're like a treasure that you search for, that you go after, that you pursue. Wisdom and knowledge are not just for deep thinkers and the philosophers. Wisdom and knowledge are this gift from Jesus out of our personal relationship with him for how to live out our daily lives. The wisdom and knowledge that comes from Christ, it will help you to know what to do when things like your child comes home and they've been bullied. The wisdom and knowledge of Jesus will help you to know what to do when you come into unexpected money, or when you lose your job, or when you have a health crisis. The wisdom of Jesus will tell you what to do so that you don't make things worse. There's no Bible verse that will tell you exactly what job you should take, or whom you should marry, or whether to move or stay put. Even a good and moral person can make unwise decisions. So wisdom helps you to identify multiple options, possible courses of action. The wisdom of Jesus doesn't just help you know between right and wrong or good and evil. It helps you know what the difference between good, better, and best, what God's plan for your life is. Wisdom is connecting our human understanding and our experience living in this world with the deep knowledge of the truth of his word. So we need God's wisdom in order to understand how to use our talents for his purposes. So you might be saying, well, Matt, okay, just give me the wisdom. No, that's not how it works. The wisdom comes from you pursuing your relationship with Jesus. Even in this parable, Jesus, the master did not really give instructions. And so it's like in the moment when you pursue a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works to reveal Jesus. His word reveals truth, principles, foundations to build your life on. And the Spirit of God works, speaks to you. God's wisdom is available to us, will guide us as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to reflect on these two questions right now. First question is, what's a talent you have? And then how can you use it, develop it, enhance it to serve people? It's a good starting point. So I want to give you just a moment to reflect on that. And then I want to pray for us. So allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. What's a talent you have, and how can you use it to serve people in need? Let's just pause and Lord, I thank you for your word and your spirit speaking to us. prompting hearts, minds. Bringing us into alignment with your mission, your purpose. We live in a very prosperous nation, which I'm grateful for. There are a lot of opportunities around us. So God, we need the clarity of your wisdom for how to get our lives aligned with your kingdom. Not just looking to fulfill our own personal dream job, a personal picture that we have of our lives. We want to align our lives with your kingdom, your mission. I see a group of men and women who are taking their God-given talent seriously. Not interested in playing games. But interested in using them for the kingdom of God. I see young men and women that the Spirit of God is prompting you and opening your eyes to what path to take. And there's going to be courage and confidence in the Lord for you to walk it out. Not get distracted by the things of this world. Not get distracted by drugs and alcohol, but stay on the straight and narrow path. I also see young people standing up for what is right, being bold in their faith. I see people in the third season of life . People are struggling, wondering if they've made too many mistakes, if they can still be used by God. Looking back over their lives with some regret, and maybe there's questions. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying to you, here's the question you need to ask. What's in your hand? There's more that God has for you. So God, I pray as a church, we would have the courage to obey your leading. And as you're raising up a generation, I believe time is short. There's a sense of urgency for us to make an impact in our homes, our workplaces, neighborhoods, schools, universities, government, entertainment industry. God, whatever it takes, you're calling men and women to step out, step up. Use their God-given talents for your kingdom until you return. And I pray that we will be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I don't want to dismiss before giving you an opportunity today. If you're here, maybe you're joining us online and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you did at some point in your life and you just kind of walked away from it. The invitation Jesus gave, he said, if you want to be my disciple, come follow me. But then he said this, he said, repent of your sin. Turn from your selfish ways. That's what following Jesus means. Not just Jesus as Savior, but Jesus as Lord, as King. And so if you're ready to make that decision today, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. I'm gonna invite you to pray it out loud. And it's a prayer that sets you on a new path, understanding what it is, this realm where Jesus is King, we're his servants, he's the master, but we're also his friends, have a personal relationship. We're like in partnership with the Almighty. It's an amazing privilege. But it starts with this decision to surrender your life to him. And so if you're ready to do that today, I'm gonna invite you to pray this prayer out loud. I'm gonna invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. So would you just say this? Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you came to this earth. You died on a cross and rose from the dead for me. You ascended to heaven and you will return again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I repent of my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer and that was a decision you sincerely meant in your heart, we wanna celebrate that with you. The ushers have a Bible that we'd love for you to have. Would you have the courage just to raise your hand, unashamed of this decision you made today, until an usher sees you? They'll hand you that Bible. And then after the service, I want to encourage you to go to our connections room to my right. We have a team of people there that would love to pray with you and walk with you, talk with you. If you have any questions about what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus, I'd encourage you to go there as well. I saw a couple hands go up. Can we thank God for these individuals? This is a starting point. It's a starting point. It's a journey of following Jesus. Journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. So I'd encourage you to stop by our connections room. Your next step then is to be water baptized. Water baptism is a moment when you publicly profess your faith in Jesus, share what Jesus has done in your life. You identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. It's for you. It's not for the church. It's not for me. It's for you. So if you'd like to be baptized, you can sign up online, worshipcenter.org/baptism. We have a great class for you to go through, to walk you through each step, and love for you to take that step. All right, well, so good being together today. If you need prayer for any reason, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. Feel free to come. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by our connections room here on the right. If you are a young adult, 18 to 30, we have connections room on our left here. We want to be more intentional about getting our young adults connected. So I'd encourage you to stop by there, 18 to 30. We're not going to card you, but that is what a young adult is. So you can all stand. Let me just remind you, you're God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. Go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. Be amazed at what he can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.